This FabFM Voice of the Douglas Shire podcast is proudly brought to you by Bendigo Bank, Port Douglas and Mossman, offering a full range of competitive banking products and technology you'd expect from a big bank with the personal service and care you'd expect from us. Drop into your nearest branch at Port Village Shopping Centre or Front Street Mossman. Bendigo Bank, the better big bank.
Okay, it is that time of the week. As I say, it comes round very quickly to have a chat with our medicine lady. And she's here. It's, Dr. Alex Bernhardi, who's been a GP in our area for 13-plus years. Many projects on the go at the moment. All exciting stuff, actually. And, welcome back, as always.
Thanks, Gary. Good afternoon.
Your think tank, a week or so back, I know we briefly touched on it, but, again, that was very well received and, would you say, perhaps exceeding your expectations in terms of the interest that it's created?
Look, I'm always a positive person, so therefore I always have really high expectations.
Good.
And so therefore I was really happy with the outcome, and but we can always do better. And so I still think, you know, anybody who hasn't come yet should please come next time, and we will work on it.
Okay, well, we'll keep you fully informed of all those meetings and other projects that the doc has lined up in the near future. We're going to talk about cholesterol today, and this is a little bit of an interesting one for me, actually, because just recently in a blood check, my doctor said your cholesterol's a bit high, you need to eat better and you need to exercise. And I think, I do a bit of gym every morning, I run pretty much every day, and some of those runs are an hour plus, and I'm a vegetarian, which you think would be potentially low cholesterol. So I was a little bit confused. Having had a chat with you, just out of interest, you said, well, you know, the numbers don't mean anything. So I think there is certainly confusion with cholesterol, because some people would suggest any cholesterol is bad for you. Your ticker's going to go any day. You've got cholesterol. But maybe not the case. I guess your thoughts on that as a GP, and somebody also likes to look at those natural options too.
Yes, Gary, you managed to put all the critical points really in your initial question.
Thank you.
So we'll try and dissect.
As always,
things a little bit.
It's a bigger topic than we thought. We say it every week, don't we?
That's right. Yes, and I completely agree with you. So cholesterol. Cholesterol is not as such a bad thing. If we wouldn't have any cholesterol, we would not be able to exist. So that's the first really important message. Cholesterol does play an important role in our body, and that is primarily that each cell needs to have cholesterol to build the membrane around the cell. So that is the primary role, as well as that most or many of our hormones, you know, the little time givers and the little triggers in our body, they build on cholesterol as well. So therefore, cholesterol has an important meaning in the way how our body works. But obviously, as with everything, cholesterol needs to be within a certain range. Not enough cholesterol might be a bad thing, but too much cholesterol, obviously, is really bad for you. And there's no doubt about that. So there is a good body of studies, of really robust long-term studies, which has shown or is shown that high cholesterol levels are indeed associated are directly linking to an increased risk to get a heart attack and a stroke and all these kind of things. So if you have a GP and if your GP suggests that you should have a blood test to check for your cholesterol, that is a really good idea. It is just important then to also understand what we are actually testing. And I think that is where the first confusion comes in, because there is not only just one cholesterol level. Your blood test, depending on where the focus of that blood test was, might either just show a single reading for cholesterol. That is then the overall cholesterol. But if you have had a fasting blood test, your doctor will get four different levels of cholesterol. And if you have a second to really delve into that, I think it is super important to understand what these different tests means and how that relates to your individual risk, and also in where that might come from and what you could possibly do about that.
You mentioned the fasting test. That's when you don't eat prior
yes.
to the...
Yeah, so for 8 hours, nothing to eat or drink, just water.
Now, when I had my particular test, I didn't do that. So would that affect the results, or would that just give a... Would they take that into account?
So most labs, if you haven't been fasting, they would just only give you the overall cholesterol. And if the purpose of the blood test would have been to assess your personal heart risk, then that would probably be not good enough. So you should, in order to have a valid opinion in regards to your heart health, you need to have a fasting blood test. What then gets tested is three different subgroups of fatty acids in your body. One is the LDL, and the LDL cholesterol is typically what we call the bad cholesterol. And that should be as low as possible. But then we have another one, which is the HDL, and that is one that we want to be really high. A third one are your triglycerides, and they should be as low as possible as well. All these three together make up this total cholesterol reading. So theoretically, if you would have a higher total cholesterol reading, it could be because your good HDL is extremely high because you are exercising and eating the right things. And then that would not mean that it is a bad thing for you to have a little bit a higher cholesterol. But it could be exactly the opposite. It could be that your overall cholesterol is really high because your bad LDL and the bad triglycerides are super high.
I suppose, like in most cases with health, each individual case has to be looked at differently. Lifestyle, size, weight, all those different things. And possibly a look at the family history, would that have an effect potentially on cholesterol?
Absolutely. There is a percentage of people who have a genetic predisposition to just not be so able to remove cholesterol out of the blood circulation. You call that familial hyperlipidemia. And these people, they definitely need a lot more help and intervention than others who don't have these genetic predisposition.
Now, a text from Greg, he says he has Lipitor. I think that is Lipitor, each day, every day for cholesterol. Is that obviously a cholesterol managing drug? That's a drug that I guess will affect certain elements of your cholesterol. As you said, there's a little bit more to it. There's different aspects. So
yep.
In that case, and you've already said also there's potential illness in terms of not having enough. But in that case, that would be for too much, would it be?
Yeah, so Lipitor belongs to a very common group of medication, which we call statins, and they specifically reduce your bad LDL cholesterol. And that can be depending on the individual person's risk profile for ischemic heart disease, for getting heart attacks, can be a good thing if, and this is the really big if it is added onto the recommended lifestyle interventions. And that is something that many patients like to skip. Let me just point out that the National Heart Foundation of Australia, they also have outlined that the first and foremost intervention should always be lifestyle modification. And then secondly, medication and supplements if necessary. But as I said, out of convenience, I guess, and sometimes also out of a lack of time that the GP might have to talk to you about, we often, you know, tend to keep the lifestyle interventions on a very basic, quick, short level. But we should pay a lot more attention to those.
I feel you've got your very diplomatic hat on there, and that's good. Anyhow, I think. Now, we'll come back, we'll take a little bit of music, we'll come back, we'll talk about lifestyle, and we'll talk about the tablets and some of the issues and the whys and the why nots, maybe, in just a few minutes. We're talking to our medicine lady, Dr. Alex Bernhardi. If you do have any questions, the email is open, Gazza with two Zs, gazza@fabfm.com.au.
Fab FM, your radio station in Port Douglas and Mossman.
Our medicine lady, Dr. Alex Bernhardi, is in the studio. We talk to Dr. Alex every Wednesday around about this time, and we've covered certainly some very interesting topics, and today is no exception. Cholesterol. We've talked about the role and how important certain levels of cholesterol are. We need cholesterol. We've talked about some of those figures, sometimes confusing figures from your GP. Clarified it a little bit for me, I do have to say. That's good news. Let's talk about lifestyle, doctor, because in many cases with your health, that, you know, it comes down to us to be a little, take a little bit of responsibility. At the end of the day, we can't keep relying on the doctors and the medicines. So how about lifestyle in terms of good cholesterol?
So there is an awful lot of non-pharmacological interventions that you can do, which are all evidence-based and which are also in line with the National Heart Foundation, which can all help you to hopefully not need any additional medication. As I said, some of you might still need some medication, but a majority of people might not need. If you follow the following lifestyle interventions, and so let me just take you through some of them. Number one, not in that order necessarily, but you know, let's just talk about stress. So stress management has come up in other of our interviews previously already, because stress, which is not well managed, increases cortisol, and cortisol will increase your cholesterol.
Is that true?
So that is really interesting. Yes, pay attention to your stress management. Yoga can help to reduce your cholesterol levels. That has been proven. 30 minutes of daily endurance exercise can be just moderate, so you don't need to be, you know, like running until you collapse, but a moderate endurance exercise such as brisk walking is really beneficial in reducing your cholesterol. And then obviously, and that is what I want to elaborate a little bit on, diet, and then the evidence behind some of the nutritional supplements. So when it comes to diet, I think most of us would know that something along the line of the Mediterranean diet is what is recommended for your heart. And if we look at it, what we will see is that the Mediterranean diet means that you should have a diet low in saturated fat. So saturated fats are your bad fats, basically, the ones that you find in cookies, in very fatty, greasy sausages, these kind of things. You should have a moderate amount of monounsaturated fats, and that is what you would get in your cold-pressed extra virgin olive oil. So that is definitely one of the mainstays. Also, a moderate amount of polyunsaturated fats is beneficial, and you get those from seed oils, seeds, avocados, nuts. They are very rich in that. You should probably have 10% of your daily energy intake from these mono and polyunsaturated fats. In particular, when we talk about the nuts, one nut that was found to be able to reduce your bad LDL cholesterol significantly are walnuts. Which doesn't mean that you should eat a kilo of walnuts every day, because then obviously, you know, you could pick up too much of any other nutrient. But to have a couple of walnuts in your diet would be a good idea. Now, nutritional supplements, and I think there are, if you go to any chemist or open any sort of health magazine, you will find an abundance of, you know, supplements which all claim to be able to lower cholesterol. And there are indeed a lot of them, but you always need to be very careful to look at the evidence. What do we know so far? So some supplements, they are very easy to claim that it is beneficial for your heart, but that is often still based on an association, but not really proven in long-term, really robust studies. They might or they might not have that effect. So I think for the time being, it is important to really go for the ones where there is already a lot of evidence. And that is basically just a couple of supplements. A very important one are plant sterols, which is basically a type of cholesterol, how it occurs in a plant. So it is very similar to our own cholesterol, and it inhibits the absorption of our bad animal-derived cholesterol. And in that way, it can lower our bad LDL cholesterol levels. A tricky thing with these plant sterols, though, and that is a word of caution, is that some products add plant sterols into their processed food product, which, yes, makes them a good source of these plant sterols. But on the other side, if it is a processed food, you also need to weigh that against the benefit against the risk of it being a processed food. So that's something which can make the choice a little bit tricky. And what I'm referring to is there are margarines who have added plant sterols. So as I said, that might be a good source for you to have plant sterols. However, whether or not a margarine as such is a good thing for your heart, that's a different story. So again, we all need to be mindful, and we need to still apply common sense when we choose these supplements.
It is interesting, because I've certainly seen commercials where they're actually claiming that this product that you spread on your toast is good for your heart. So that's that is a little bit sort of dangerous, promoting that. Dare I say, and we've talked about gut health in pretty much every conversation that we've had here at FAB, but I guess a lot of it comes back down to all that whole central gut health thing, does it?
Your gut definitely also plays a role in that, absolutely. And what is true for good gut health, luckily, is also true for good heart health, insofar as if you eat lots of fiber-containing whole foods, soluble fiber and non-soluble fiber, that definitely helps to reduce cholesterol by interfering with the cholesterol absorption from the gut. So that means if you eat lots of oats and psyllium and vegetables and whole grain, these kind of food that we've been promoting anyway, then the cholesterol that you eat with it does not get as easily absorbed into your blood circulation.
Certain things working together is often the case in our bodies. Just interesting, I want to talk about the tablets, but you've mentioned fats, and you know, we these days we understand so much more about fats. I think probably 30, 40 years ago, everyone assumed, it seemed to be, that all fats are bad, but very much proven that we do. And you mentioned the Mediterranean diet. Certain fats definitely not good for you, but there are certain ones we definitely need, don't we?
Yes. So they are the monounsaturated and the polyunsaturated fats. However, it does not mean that you should have a liter of them.
Yes.
So it always needs to be, you know, part of your daily normal healthy calorie intake. And I think that is another really important message, that when we say olive oil is good for you, polyunsaturated fats are good for you, it always comes with, it does not mean that the more the better.
Okay, let's talk about tablets then, because we've already talked about Lipitor from one of our listeners, Greg. Would you suggest it? Again, I guess every case is different. Would you suggest them? Why and what are some of the issues that you think occur in those more sort of conventional methods?
So, as the National Heart Foundation correctly writes, it is the treatment of high cholesterol always needs to be tailored around two factors. And one is your measured cholesterol, as what we discussed, but also the other is your personal risk to develop ischemic heart disease. So if you belong to a group of people where already your father and your uncle and your brother has had a stroke and a heart attack, or you might, you've got diabetes, you are overweight, you are very stressed, you don't exercise, then that all puts you in a higher risk category. And so therefore, we would certainly want to treat your cholesterol a little bit more aggressive than if you would be a 20-year-old, athletic, health-conscious young person. So that is really important that there is no, you know, answer that fits everybody. It needs to be a very individual decision. As I said initially, that you should always look at what lifestyle interventions can you do first. And just if you have come to that point where you say, look, I'm really doing everything that's recommended, and if your doctor then says, okay, that's great, and you will have benefit from doing all these things, but the figures for whatever reason are still not good enough, then you would most likely benefit from one of the prescription medication. And in this case, the benefits that you will get from them will definitely outweigh the risk that is always associated with any pharmaceutical.
And a final thought on cholesterol, and again, one of my own personal experiences, and a friend who was a runner and a skinny, typical spindly, wiry guy, but had high cholesterol. And the point I'm making, you don't necessarily have to be obese, be a large person to have high cholesterol, do you?
Not necessarily. Yes. It is often connected, but not in each and any case.
Okay. And finally, I received an email from Dixie. We're going to touch on this very quickly. And she was asking about a little bit of the media scare with this flesh-eating bug and saying it was in the Cairns and potentially in the Douglas Shire area. And I sent you that report. You felt that the report was probably not really very well represented. And again, just very briefly, what were your overall thoughts on that scare that we had?
So the Daintree ulcer, how we call it up here, is an ulcer that is caused by a specific bacterium, which is related to the tuberculosis bacterium. We have had outbreaks of Daintree ulcers regularly in the past. I think 5 or 6 or maybe even 7 years ago, there was quite an outbreak. And initially, the cases were coming from Daintree. And then you could see that with time going by, we found some in Wonga, some in Mossman. Now, the report mentioned, and that's right, that this year there have been 2 cases identified in people who live in Juletten. So, and I just wanted to point out that it is really in the moment only 2 people. So in the larger scale of things, that is not a big number. However, what the researchers are concerned about is that could mean, it's not proven, but it could mean that the reservoir of this bacterium might migrate and might shift. And that's sort of a bit of the uncertainty. But I really just wanted to make the point that we are not looking up here in the moment at a epidemic. So the numbers are still very, very small compared to previous years.
Okay, thank you, Doc, and hopefully that helps Dixie. Keep the emails coming in, as we often say, if you have a question, just like Dixie. Gazza with two Zs, gazza@fabfm.com.au. Thank you, Doc. Our topics and our conversations seem to get longer because I find them so interesting, and one thing leads to another. So many thanks. We'll have a chat next week on a different topic.
Absolutely. Thanks, Gary.
That's our medicine lady, Dr. Alex Bernhardi.